the Avropolitan.
Welcome back. This is My Money and Me. I'm Sumitra Naidu, and we move now to talk about financial literacy. With the lockdown, the new norm, many are learning to juggle jobs, kids, partners, and parents from the confines of their homes. But are they, and I think they are, I think many are juggling finances as well. You know, let's pay for this and let's not pay for that, and let's see what we can do to balance the accounts because there's less money coming in, we're not working, or one of us has lost our job, or me as the only breadwinner has lost half of my salary. I'm unable to work full time. How then do I juggle the finances? But how much are we learning from this exercise? My guest now is Kinosi Magosha from Sanlam. He's the head of client solutions. Thank you very much for your time this evening.
Good evening, Sumitra, and good evening to your listeners as well. Thanks for having me on your program today.
Thanks so much, Kinosi. Thanks for joining me. You know, how do we actually, how are we managing this? I mean, you know, are we learning anything from this? You know, we talk about saving for a rainy day. You could use this as an example. It's a lot more than a rainy day. But are we managing our finances in a way that we have some sort of buffer if anything goes wrong?
I think currently the situation that a lot of people are in different places at this point in time. I mean, there are people who have lost income, as you have referred to earlier on, and there are some people who are still earning some money and like their full salary, and some people who are somewhere in between. And I think it's been time for people to actually just reflect in terms of how do we actually survive this time, and what's quite useful to do for a lot of people right now, especially if they're still getting income, is to think of how to actually spend that money smartly so as to be able to put some aside for the future, given the uncertainties that we're actually facing at this point in time. So effectively creating that rainy fund or an emergency fund that can actually help with saving through these times.
How much of this, I mean, I would think that this is an ideal time, even if we're not directly teaching our children, sitting down, pulling a pen and paper and showing them, look, this is how you draw up a budget. Surely from them just watching you and how you're juggling it, or is this something that they don't pick up until you actually teach them?
I think you'll be surprised by how much children actually pick up on what you talk about. You know, they actually learn indirectly through the conversations we're having in our homes. And I think at the moment there's also a lot of talk around money, so they actually pick up what you actually say around money. You know, whenever you're planning that trip to the grocery store, it becomes an opportunity where you're actually talking about money. How am I actually going to be spending money when I'm going to the grocery store to get food during this time, or whatever necessities the family may need? So it's a matter of being intentional, but also allowing it to seamlessly flow in how you're actually living life. So bringing them in terms of when we're actually going to go shopping, what do we actually need at home, what are the different needs that they have. And if, depending on their age, you can do it differently. You know, older children, you can actually allocate them a budget which they manage themselves. Younger children, you actually work with them around appreciating what I need and want during this time, with an appreciation of having to be able to put money aside for the future as well.
So we're not taking kids to the shops right now, so we can't really just, you know, give them a bit of cash and say, go and do the shopping for today. I'm going to be in the store walking behind you. But what can we do? What are some of the basics if we start approaching this? We still have a few more weeks. We're still under lockdown. We're still waiting for level 3. We're not too sure what that entails. But we heard today that, you know, schools are reopening in June. So we still have a few weeks. How do we broach the subject with them? How do we start off small and get them into it? What are some of the basics that we can teach them?
I think some of the basics actually appreciate helping them to appreciate, you know, how much money is supposed to be available. That, you know, when working with money, there is the concept of some constraint when it actually comes to money. So whatever income that one actually gets is what one actually has to work with to achieve different things in the home. But then also I refer to something called like the three S's of money. You know, then given that money that you've actually got in, you know, how are you actually going to spend that? We spoke about shopping, but then how are you actually going to save it, putting something for the future, and how can you actually share, if you're able to share, by giving some of the money that you have aside? Because some children get pocket money, and some older children, you find that they actually are able to shop online. So when your children actually are in a position where they're actually shopping online, it's actually having a conversation around, you know, not going for every special that's there, because there will be a lot of specials, but actually appreciating that there is a limited amount of money you have to meet your food requirements, your toiletry requirements, your clothing requirements, given that winter is coming up now, and making sure you still have something for that extra, if you want to get something new for school. When you're going back to school, there might be some additional stationery that you actually need to buy. So sitting together and saying, you've got this amount of money, for my own, like if you have your income as a family, to say, okay, youngest child, this is what you actually have for you. You need to get your stationery, you need to get your winter clothes, you need to get your toiletries, and you may want to have a snack. Obviously, the food component you tend to manage as a family, so it becomes impractical to try to break it down to a person. But just helping them to appreciate, like on the food side, you know, there's some staples we need to buy, and how do we actually become smart on where we actually buy those staples to make sure that we can make our rent go further. You know, do we actually look at the best deals of where to actually buy the groceries themselves? And when children actually have access to shopping online, helping them appreciate, to reconcile that they're actually not spending more than what they've actually allocated to the budget for good clothing, or whether it be for stationery, or whatever other need they may have had. So helping them to actually write it down, to make it tangible, because money is so virtual these days that you actually want to make it tangible so they can actually grasp the concept of money.
You know, I've often had this discussion with friends, and you know, I've read so many different articles, and there's always different views on whether you should actually be discussing your finances with your children. So some parents say that, look, they need to know. They need to know how much we pay for electricity, how much we pay for water, because if they're leaving the lights burning the whole night, I mean, you know, this is a cost factor for me. If they standing in the shower and singing and dancing instead of showering and getting done and coming out, you know, in 5 minutes as opposed to 20 minutes, this is a cost factor for me, because I'm paying for it. So, I mean, should you actually be telling them that, listen, I have so many things to pay for. I have the bond to pay for. I have the car to pay for. I have loans to pay for. And this is all the money I have left over. Or should we actually just be teaching them money management from a different perspective, or just, you know, and yeah, just separate from what we are dealing with on a daily basis? I mean, what is the right way? Some people say that it damages your child. It's not their responsibility to suffer your maybe your money mistakes.
Yeah, I think bringing it into your own context can actually make it a bit complex for the child, because then it could be like they might get worried, oh, I'm to blame, you know, how the different conversations can actually evolve around raising children. But I think when you actually give them something that they can actually start controlling and making decisions around, and hence allocating a budget for them to actually manage and talk at a high level around the certain things that you do with your own budget. You know, you don't have to necessarily go into nitty-gritty of the specific amounts, because that in itself, depending on the level of income of the parent, it can create expectations from children if there's surplus in the family. But at the same time, if there's constraints, it's talking to children around the means that are there, that are available for the family. Because I think you don't want to burden them, but you also don't want to be to not be transparent with them, because they also are contributing members of the family, if that makes sense. So, and it also teaches them to live within their own means, and also teaching principles around comparison as well. You know, that people have different types of means, and how to actually like, do with the means that you have at your disposal to do the most with that, you know? And I think it's ingrained in those kind of principles, because from those kind of principles, that's how you actually learn to manage money better. And it's not deferring, because I think at the same time, you can try to defer teaching children around how to actually manage money. But then you, the earlier you start, the better your position to start inculcating habits, good habits around how to manage money in the future.
You know, one parent says, it's so unfair, you can't stress the child out. If you've got 100 things to pay, why are you dumping it on the child? And then the other argument is that, but, you know, the child needs to understand that if, you know, they are using up, they're just letting the water run, this is an expense, you know, and if it's hot water, whatever it is. But I mean, you know, see, I mean, I think that raises the importance again of money management in the home. And I've always said that, you know, financial literacy needs to be a standard subject in school. Children need to learn that. But how do you make it? I mean, we've now all adapted to teaching our children at home. How do we actually, how important is it to make money management part of this homeschooling system at home, even after, you know, the lockdown is over and everybody returns to school? How important is money management, you know, the whole family, the kids involved?
I think it's very important. I think there's something which I was discussing with some colleagues as well, in terms of, you know, you don't learn to manage money when you have a lot of it. You actually learn to manage money as you're still building like resources, or before you even start earning, if you're earning a pocket money, whether it's even 5 rand or 10 rand, you know, the decisions that you actually make with that 10 rand and 5 rand are likely to be the type of decisions that you actually make when you start getting a 10,000 rand. You know, so you want to be able to talk to children, even when they're getting their pocket money, around those 3 years. So you're going to spend that money on certain things. You may need to save that money because there's certain things you may need, or you may actually don't know what's going to happen, that you may have to have a bit of a cushion for yourself in the future. But then also teaching the act of generosity at the same time around sharing, you know, which is actually what's actually helping a lot of people to get through during this time, you know. And that can be taught with when you actually don't really have as much. And those habits, you then grow up with them as you actually, the way you're living life as a family. So having that conversation, like, month end is coming up, you know, it presents with a lot of challenges of how to actually juggle limited resources. So how do you actually go about prioritizing what are the key things that you actually need to be spending? You know, so it's planning before you actually get to that moment of having to actually do the acting of spending and saving.
I think now's the best time ever. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 20 years. Rather give your kids a foundation now, let them know how to deal with it, so, you know, they're not caught off guard completely you know, when something else happens. Kanosi, thank you so much for your time this evening. Kanosi Magosha is the head of Client Solutions.